Arikara, and Muskogee Creek, a Making Contact Community Storytelling Fellow.
And that's it from Making Contact. If you're interested in learning more about the work both Vincent and Isabella are doing, or want to listen to other works produced by Making Contact Storytelling Fellows, you can visit us at radioproject.org. Lisa Rudman is our executive director. Marie Che, Anita Johnson, Monica Lopez are our producers. Sabine Blazan is our audience engagement manager. And Vera Tykolsker is our development associate. And I'm your host, RJ Lozada. Thanks for listening to
Making Contact here on KBOO Portland. At 10:15 today, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, The Food Show hosts dietitian Melinda Hemmelgarn, who connects the dots between food, health, and agriculture. And we're going to also feature a piece by The Food Sleuth. Stay tuned for that. But coming up next is Air Cascadia after one announcement. Thanks for tuning into KBOO today. It's 10 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 18th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm not listening, though. Just a second. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. Of course, we are also your fake news radio, aren't we? Because we're actually telling you some of the things that have happened in the world around us overnight, and some of the connections to more recent days that are changing the world that I'm talking about, even as I talk about it. It's that's near. It's that close to us all the time. And ignoring it has never borne fruits for any of us, or anyone else. That's exactly why we do this, and that's exactly why we rely on your support. Because it wasn't for you, then we wouldn't be able to make this enormous group community effort. And that effort, of course, is spreading across the land. We have a lot of goings on right now. A Standing Rock echoes throughout our lives right now. There have been a number of events. We were expecting a couple of activists, saboteurs, who were going to come here to Portland to speak, and they are not, for a number of reasons, which I'm not sure if I'm able to, if it's okay for me to report on that. But nonetheless, if you are planning to go and hear them speak, they will not be speaking in Portland right now. However, there are lots of other events in the nature of trainings for you to go to make sure that you are able to participate in the most effective way possible and the safest way possible. Although I wouldn't put too much of a value on safety these days, because really nobody's safe. There is no such thing as safety, even for Americans who seem to believe that somehow they are entitled to safety at any cost. Not at Standing Rock, not on the reservation, never has been safe, never will be safe, and not until finally we see some degree of justice. Well, so there are, we're trying to reach right now Sabrina King. She's one of the organizers with the Dakota Rural Action and the Indigenous Environmental Network. We're talking, of course, about this pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, and others across the nation, a network of black snakes that First Nations have been fighting for, these many, many years. On October 11th, just to take a quick look back, U.S. District Judge James Boasberg ruled that the Dakota Access Pipeline will continue to operate. The decision comes a week after Energy Transfer Partners wired the state of Dakota, $15 million for law enforcement expenses that were rung up during the anti-DAPL movement at Standing Rocks. So comes the word that this judge, same judge, allowed something very interesting, the necessity defense, only been used 3 times. It's been used in this case by climate activists in the oil pipeline protest. Yeah. Emily Johnson and 2 other activists were charged with felonies for shutting down the pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, right? A 4th activist was filming it. Oh, boy, they hate that. They really do hate when they document their own felonies, their own instances of breaking the law, and once again expecting to get away with it scot-free. The 4th activist did film it, and the judge in this trial has allowed the defendants, get this, to use the necessity defense. A judge in Minnesota has cleared the way for an unusual and potentially groundbreaking defense. The climate activists are going to be allowed to use this, the necessity of confronting the climate crisis is justification for temporarily shutting down, two crude oil pipelines last year. Okay, this is Judge Robert Tiffany, District Court Judge Clearwater County, Minnesota, October 11th, and here joining us to talk about that, we have Peter, and I don't want to mangle your last name any more than is absolutely necessary. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Peter Giampietro.
You said
I it. Hope you are joining us now. Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Peter?
Can you hear me?
If you're there, Peter, speak up. This is your...
I can hear
this
you.
This is your stage, so please
I
do join
you,
us now.
You can't hear me.
I'm not able to hear you, but how
all
about
right.
If you just go ahead and talk a little bit about current,
I can hear you.
What the current state of affairs is and what some of these rulings mean for the activists involved. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? I'm not sure that you can hear me. I'm confused.
Well, if you're there, we want to hear you. If you're there, well, we do want to hear you, so please do go right ahead. Talk a little bit about what we have going
so
right now.
Assuming you
as
can hear me.
As,
I don't know if you can hear me.
Legal strategies to protect some of these protesters who have been, in fact, declared saboteurs in some cases. And in this case, what we're talking about is this necessity defense. Because the climate crisis is so severe, so direct, and so lethal. Good morning, Peter.
Can you hear me now?
I can definitely hear you. Go right ahead. Take it
all
away.
Right. Well, it's kind of a loaded question. I mean, I think what you're talking about is, you know, people being arrested for defending the environment and, you know, what is... and. In the Standing Rock case, you're talking about people that are, you're talking about an indigenous-led movement of people that have basically been on the losing end of a 500-year war to protect their land. So these are two, they're the same thing, kind of. One is a territorial dispute, another one, and that's obviously not what you're talking about. You're talking about, you know, the right to defend and protect our water, which is what that whole thing was about. And I think that a lot of people responded to the need to do that. So I can't say, you know, that there's no justice. There is no justice. You know, there's no way to get justice except to do these kinds of actions. It's the only way to do it. There we have no recourse at all. But I think it's, in a large part, it's part of a systemic issue of basically seeing the earth as a, you know, resource for us and being something that is there for us just to use and take until we, you know, get what we want, or essentially there's just not enough and we have too many people taking, and so you have some people suffering and other people benefiting. The whole thing's that just whack. The whole damn system is whack, and the whole idea that we can just take and deplete our resources to endlessly so that some people can profit. It's just you know, maybe that made sense 100 years ago, but I mean, if anybody has any ounce of, you know, awareness about what's going on with the climate and humanitarian struggles across the world, you have to realize that is not going to work anymore. You know, and I think that you see the youth now and in the future becoming more and more adamant about having to change the way our system works on a large scale. We're not talking about just at something like Standing Rock, but we're talking about the whole way we live together and relate to each other. You know, we have to, but there's no way we can continue to maintain the standard of living that we have today, and that's going to continue to degrade unless we choose to go some other direction. So that's all I got to say.
Well, it seems like what you're talking about, what we're talking about here, is that we are coming, that youth are coming to terms with the fact that resources are finite, and that when we talk about environment, is a word that itself has become degraded from overuse, just like the land that the word actually refers to. We're talking here about when we defend the environment, our habitat, we're defending a living creature. This is what First Nations, Indigenous people, have been saying for thousands of years, is that habitat isn't separate from us. So habitat is, that's our brother, that's our sister, that's our mother or father, that is our family, our habitat. How do you want, what idea moving this forward? What do you leave, you want to leave our listeners with very quickly in the next 10 seconds?
Well, I think that if we want to find a way forward, we have to look back to the past, to what worked in the past. And what we see is if we look back far enough, there was native peoples, indigenous people, living in some semblance of balance within the environment, albeit it may not be for, you know, hundreds of years in some places. But in those stories of those people, we can find a balance, a way to live in balance with the places where we live today.
Thank you so much, Peter. We're completely out of time. I might over time. Yes, very quickly then. This is a story that we're talking about. This is our story. It's a shared story as we share the habitat as a living creature. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. Tammy Dean.